There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It's been a dark last 24 hours for UK retail. We've seen two high street chains, the toy giant Toys R Us and the electronics store Maplin, both going into administration. On a separate note, New Look, the clothing store, has also said that it may need to restructure. The FT's seen documents that suggest it could end up closing some of its 600 stores. There's a lot of finger pointing going on. There's a lot of analysis, and in the studio to talk to us about what kind of pressure retailers are under at the moment, particularly toys and electronic retailers, is our go-to expert Leroy Durwood, otherwise known as Leroy the Toy Guy. He's the managing partner at 8 Point Advisory, which is a consulting and advisory service primarily catering to the entertainment and the toy sector. Leroy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Morning, everyone.
Just point out before we start, actually, that when we're talking about Toys R Us going into administration, we're talking about what's happening in the UK. Toys R Us here in Dubai, of course, has been, it's been an institution for as long as I've been here, 20 years, but it is a franchise, so I'm going to assume, I don't know, I'm wildly speculating, in fact, making things up, but that it will be like Borders, where Borders in the US, of course, is no more, but Borders here in the UAE is still going. Talk to us about what has happened with Toys R Us, not just in the UK, actually, but also in the US.
Brandy, it's speculation is not the right word because it's actually quite true. A number of years ago, Toys R Us outsourced their e-commerce fulfillment to Amazon, and that kind of opened the door. Amazon learned a lot of lessons in the toy business, made a lot of relationships, and were able to understand the final mile or the last mile in the e-commerce game, especially in the toys business. And they basically ate their lunch, really, is what it is, unfortunately to say. I mean, it's sad news, but that was really where it started. And I think Toys R Us were probably just a little too slow to rectify that and to address it when they saw it coming. And if I had to pick one primary reason, that would probably be it. I mean, there are about, over the Christmas period, their record sales of 70% being done through Amazon, through big brands, so that's a big, big gap to lose, really.
So internationally, Toys R Us let the fox into the hen house. What about other factors, though? What about things such as the weak pound, less people on the high streets in the UK, uncertainty around Brexit?
Well, it's a real factor. I mean, as soon as your currency starts to slide, prices go up when you're dealing with dollar-based currencies out of China when you're buying product. Unfortunately, the consumers have to pick up the slack there. That puts pressure on pricing. Brick-and-mortar retailers have more compounding price pressures like rent and staff and things like that. So it's a bit of a compounding problem where online don't have as many challenges. They may only have the price challenge, but they don't have the fixed brick and mortar challenges, really.
Could we see a domino effect? Because presumably these two companies, Maplin and Toys R Us, going into administration, that's going to hurt more people than just the 5,000 odd UK employees of both companies. I mean, you've got people in the supply chain, you've got trade creditors, you've got suppliers, which presumably will also be supplying to other retailers. How far could this go?
I think the pressure of e-commerce is really just, is sort of endless. I mean, when you start to break down the supply chain, you lose those, everyone's dependent on at some point during the supply chain. And, with a big retailer like Toys R Us going down, there's a big hole to fill. I mean, there's volume stock going through there. There's amounts of, there's production, there's people producing those lines. And when it's gone, it's gone. And you've got to hope that the other retailers can pick it up. But the reality is when this happens in general, it just leaves a space. It just leaves a hole that takes a bit of time to fill.
I know that the makers of toys, the big makers, Hasbro, Mattel, Fisher-Price, even Lego, the largest toy maker in the world, come out and said, look, these are our distribution channels. If these are taken away, where do we go to sell our toys? It could actually hurt our results. Several of them come out with warnings saying that if people like Toys R Us disappear, we won't be able to reach our consumers. How are we going to do that? I mean, what do you think is the sort of logical sort of effect long term of this?
I think the biggest fear, really, Malcolm, is the fact that you start to have a situation where touching the end consumer funnels down to one or two people. So as a supplier, you kind of wanted your trade diluted a little bit, so you've not got all your eggs in one basket. You wanted to supply to multiple people, different deals, exclusive lines, ranges. When you start to push that through to one single channel, you start to get a situation where that channel starts to control a little bit of your destiny. And I think that's the real fear, where Hasbro and Mattel and them come from.
But at the same time, though, electronics does pretty well retailing online because, you know, anything in a box is pretty much, you know what you're going to get. And the same with toys to a certain degree as well. Do you think this will sort of really, really boost the online toy market?
Oh, for sure. I think the whole online market in general is that it's, you know, is really starting to accelerate, even locally. And I think this is just one more catalyst to drive people to go online. I mean, the toy business is you know, especially in the mature markets, is very, very active and very buoyant online. So much so that people actually get what you call a showrooming concept. So they'll go into a brick-and-mortar retailer, have a look at something, check out the price, and actually go home and buy it online.
But what about fun, though? I mean, electronics, fine, I can see that. If you know the specs of your laptop or you know what you're going to buy, you just go and buy it. But, I mean, toys, you're involving kids. You're involving choice. You're involving, maybe I'm old-fashioned, being taken out to pick a treat. What happens to all of that?
It's still going to be there. You're still going to, you know, brick and mortar by no means is going away. It's simply just going to be a case of destination retailers. You're going to have flagship stores in key areas that people will go to. They'll become entertainment experiences, as is the Apple Store, really. You know, most people, if you ask them, you know, they've probably bought one or two of their iPhones online, but they've still been to an Apple Store. They still want to, you know, go through the experience. So that's probably what's going to happen, or at least what I see.
Well, talking to those experiences, I was reading quotes from one retail analyst, Kate Hardcastle, who said there was a lack of drama in Toys R Us stores to this point about experience. She said, for a magical place, it's not very magical. She said, I walk into a Lego store and I have people there waiting to play with me, waiting to build with me. The Lego is all out on the tables. It's just about having fun. And if people walk away and buy, that's great. But Toys R Us is like a kind of cheap supermarket almost, isn't it?
Well, you know, I don't want to knock them. I used to work for them, you know what I mean? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's... Something went wrong in the recipe, Richard. I mean, you know, they were a good experience. They opened a beautiful store in Times Square. It had a Ferris wheel. It had dinosaurs and, you know, the whole experience there. And it was really their primary goal. I just think they were too late. The dominoes started to fall. They started to scramble. And when that starts happening, you just start hustling, right? And you're trying to move stock and you're trying to move merchandise. And I think you're sort of in a perfect storm and you're trying to think to yourself, well, you know, where do I step change now? And I think that's kind of where they were. And I just think that it just got a little bit too far ahead of them.
I wonder also, I mean, with the downturn of 2008, 2009, 2010, whether or not people spent less money on toys and games for their children. Was that partly to do with it?
Look, people definitely spent less money over the credit crisis. There was no doubt about it. And I think it went across any luxury brand or any, you know, sort of product you didn't need to necessarily have. And I think toys suffered to a degree, but, you know, parents generally will sort of cut back on their own things that they want as opposed to their kids. But I think there was a definite drive to try and find alternative products, cheaper products, better deals, clearance lines, things like that. And I think once people start to find out, you know what, if we start to look around, we shop around, we don't knee jerk our purchases, you know, we plan Christmas a little bit further out, there are deals to be had. And again, this is where online and Amazon stepped in and said, you know what, spend your time. You know, we don't have great discoverability, but go through our store, we've got some great prices, we got some great stuff, we deliver the following day, get an Amazon Prime account. You know, it's almost like you had two recipes and one just worked and one didn't, you know? And that seems to be what the sort of new norm is, I would say.
Well, you've been at the two big toy fairs in the last couple of months in London and in Germany. What was the sentiment like? What were people talking about?
Well, you know, I mean, it was all Toys R Us. I mean, it was all what's happening. I mean, it was a case of who's going to go first, US or the UK. So that was kind of the underlying thing. But, you know, there's positivity in the market. I mean, you know, people aren't going anywhere. They're buying things. Trend-wise, I mean, things are, you know, it's an interesting time in the toy industry. I mean, you know, technology's taken a real big leap in the toy business. You know, kids are coding now. Toys are built around coding and, you know, robotics and things like that. So there's new and exciting things happening. So I wouldn't say the sentiment was particularly dull. I think it was just a reality check.
And here in the UAE, you were talking about where we are with e-commerce. I mean, I've noticed in the last month or two alone, that as well as the big players that we talk about all the time, the Souks, the Noons, we've seen Gap start a really effective, quite quiet home delivery service. You buy off the internet, they get it to you easy, quickly, in a blue Gap bag. Marks and Spencer's has just relaunched its e-commerce offering as well. So you've got, you know, guys doing it for themselves, single brands. Is that where we're going to go in this region?
I think so. Well, it's definitely accelerating. It's definitely happening quicker than I think people realize. I'm quite lucky I get to see it because I get to see it across a number of sectors. But I think when I was here last year, I think we said 2017 will be the year of e-commerce. And I think, you know, we had Noon launch. We had Amazon acquire Souq. These are big moves. And also, you've got a situation where Noon, you know, it's the first time Amazon have acquired and gone into a market where they've got a competitor of a similar size or at least a potentially similar threat. So it's a very interesting space. All of retail are, you know, getting digitally present. And I think if you don't, you're going to disappear. The region, you know, in my 20 years here, I've kind of found that the Middle East will be a little bit slower to adopt, but when it adopts very quickly. And I think the next 18 to 24 months are going to be real, real e-commerce indicators.
Leroy Durwood, otherwise known as Leroy the Toy Guy, Managing Partner at 8 Point Advisory. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.